You can buy books by my podcast guests and find other recommended arts and crafts techniques books by visiting uk.bookshop.org/shop/creativityfound. Don't worry, I've popped a link in the show notes. Plus, by buying from my shop, you'll be supporting this show with a little bit of affiliate loveliness. Thank you.
I put my art in a box because I didn't know where to take it and I didn't feel I was good enough, I guess. I think maybe you need to do some art. I think maybe it's kind of key to who you are and you're not doing it. It was quite painful to do, actually. Making my own art made me feel like me. It just kind of made me feel whole and complete.
Hi, I'm Claire, founder of Open Stage Arts Drama and Singing Classes for Adults. Lots of the adults who come to our classes and online events are looking for a creativity that has been put on the back burner during their sensible grown-up years. I have found this to be true among other creatives too, so I've decided to find out more about the painters, photographers, writers, printmakers, actors, crafters, teachers, musicians, and more that have found or refound their creativity later in life. For this episode, I'm speaking with Jane Bainart. Jane has made a return to art herself, but also helps other grown-ups discover or rediscover ways to express themselves through art. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Claire. How are you? Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Your passion is for art from the inside, with your own art and by helping other adults through the courses that you run. What does that actually mean?
Oh, art from the inside. To me, art comes from the heart, good art, art that has feeling, art that people relate to or that's the most satisfying for you to make comes from the heart, so to speak. So I think we get so caught up in what we should make and that art is a set of skills and techniques that we need to learn. That's coming from quite a heady place, but for me, art is more intuitive than that. And in terms of how I make art and how I encourage students to work is to trust in their intuition and to make something that comes more from within, whatever that might end up looking like, if that makes sense. So it's more a kind of coming, I guess, art coming from a sort of more grounded internal space, really. Not being taught a set of skills, it's more bringing out your creativity from the inside.
That makes absolute sense. Thank you. What did art mean to you as a child?
Well, it was everything, really. Art was who I was. Art was my way of expressing myself. Art was my play, my preferred form of play. I loved art at school. I only ever really wanted to do art subjects, and I loved being in the art studio. Like, that was kind of my haven. I didn't particularly like school, and I liked art, so it was like a double bonus, really, being able to go and spend lots of time in the art studio, spend quite a lot of lunch times in there. And, yeah, I mean, when I think back to kind of being little and, well, how I spent my time, yeah, it was making art. That was, like, when I was my happiest, really. Whether that was sort of sitting around the table making Play-Doh things with my mum or drawing, it's just my happy place, I guess, really.
Oh, that's lovely. You did a foundation course, brilliant, but then you lost your confidence, I believe. Why do you think that was?
Well, our foundation course is brilliant. You go on it, you completely forget all the rules you're told to forget all the rules from art from school, which is brilliant. It's a whole kind of free, creative, expressive space. Starts to open that up in you, and then you have to decide where to go to continue on at university. And I was really discovering that I love textiles, but didn't really want to do like a sort of more traditional textile course in terms of, textile for print or manufacture. That sort of left me feeling a bit cold. So I applied for a textile art course, and I didn't get onto that, which actually, when I went to see their end of year exhibition, probably was a good thing because it was really conceptual and that just wasn't where my head was at. But I think it kind of made me lose my confidence because I didn't know where my creativity sat. I was like, well, it's not that course, but it's not sort of printed text styles. So actually I just kind of lost my way and I had no one to really talk to about it at the time to kind of go, well, actually, like, you could do this, or this is a different angle, this is a different approach. So I ended up doing history of art, which studying other people's art, which is quite frankly not satisfying in any way as making your own art. But I think, yeah, for me, it just kind of knocked my confidence a bit, knocked me off course. And I kind of went off on a sort of 10-year tangent of not really making my own art. And, you know, a lot of people come to me who've that confidence has been knocked much earlier on in school, been told they're not very good at art, but it just happens to be that maybe they found a particular project hard because they didn't have the support from a teacher. Therefore, that categorises in their head, I'm not very good at art, therefore I'm not going to do any more art anymore. And then that becomes not an option for you anymore. You just kind of put it in a box. And I did the same. I just did it at foundation level. I put my art in a box because I didn't know where to take it and I didn't feel I was good enough, I guess.
Completely understand, yeah. What were you doing after university? And then what was the catalyst that got you back to creating?
So basically I just went off on a kind of wild goose chase in a way. So I did history of art, and then I worked in lots of different galleries and arts organisations, more in an administrative role, again, working around other people's art rather than doing my own. Well, I was counting up the other day how many jobs I've had, about 35 jobs before I started doing this. So I've worked in all sorts of admin jobs. I, long story short, ended up doing some counselling training and some coaching training. I ended up working in staff development and coaching, just kind of dabbling in my own bit of art, but like not in a very satisfactory way. So I did like a dressmaking class and a jewellery making class and things like that, and they were sort of okay and they sort of scratched a creative itch, but it wasn't really me. So I just sort of like blundered around for a while, really trying different things, and until kind of to what I'm doing now.
How did it come about what you are doing now?
I guess about 8 years ago I started doing my own art again after basically, like I said, sort of only really dabbling in the odd bits and pieces. I'd moved house with my art materials for like years and just carried them around and never done anything with them. And I guess the catalyst for me doing my own art was I was having some talking to my counselling mentor supervisor when I was doing my course, and she was saying, well, I think maybe you need to do some art. I think maybe like it's kind of key to who you are and you're not doing it. And even though I kind of knew that on some level, I'd not really allowed myself to do it or found a way to do it. So I went home and I took my paints out and I started painting and drawing at home. A lot of it was quite messy, quite different from what I'm doing now. It was quite painful to do, actually. Like, if I'm honest, it was almost like it wasn't like to do art just because I wanted to make something pretty. It was like something that I needed to do. So it was getting back in touch with that creativity and just allowing myself to make whatever. And 8 years on, I'm still making my art. So it obviously worked. I think I ended up doing my own art like that because I'm not very good at being told what to do, and I don't like producing the same as everybody else. I've never enjoyed that. So for me, it felt quite important to do it myself. And I think making my own art made me feel like me. It just kind of made me feel whole and complete. And this part of me that just hadn't been fulfilled before suddenly felt filled, like it from a really sort of internal perspective, I guess. When I was in London a while ago, I did an art therapy foundation course for an intensive week. Loved it, loved the kind of creative expression, but didn't really necessarily want to go and do a 2-year art therapy training course with no guarantee of a job at the end of it. And just started thinking, well, I love making art and I love coaching. I love helping people bring out the best in themselves. But is there a way that I could put those together? Is there a way that I could put some of these things that I love, these two things that I love, together into something? And I guess like one of the catalysts as well was a friend of mine just said, could you teach me how to do some art? No one had ever asked me that before. Quite frankly, it kind of didn't even know if I could help because I'd only ever made my own art before. So we just went and sat at a cafe for a couple of hours. I brought lots of art materials and we sat and made art together and talked about what we were doing, and I sort of gently encouraged her to just play and explore. By the end of those 2 hours, she'd made quite a lot of work that she liked. She was sending pictures to her husband already, which is quite a big deal compared to lots of students that I see who feel quite, ooh, no, I don't want to show anyone. And went to an art shop straight away, bought lots of materials, and that made me think, maybe there's something in this. Maybe I can actually help people in a way that feels really natural, and in a way that I make art, and in a way that uses the skills I have. So came back to Oxford 5 years ago now and thought, I'll get a part-time job and I shall just try running some art classes and see what happens. And that was, 4.5 years ago now. And now that's my job. So.
Amazing. Tell me how you run art courses for adults now, and what can someone expect when they join a class?
Mostly I'm doing online at the moment. So basically what I run at the moment are evening art groups. So they're basically a space for people who have made a little bit of art before. It could have been a long time ago, or it could have been quite recently, but they just don't do very much of it. And it's just a really lovely space to come along and make art in a way that feels right for you, to actually finish some of those projects or start some of those projects that you've been wanting to do, to just build your confidence in terms of creativity. So that they're not the sort of class where everyone sits down and paints the same thing. As I've said earlier, like, that's really not my bag. So it's not like a painting party or anything like that. They are a space where I help you bring art out in a way that works for you, in a way that you want to make. And quite a lot of people that come to that are kind of like me. They used to make art. It's part of who they are. They just find it really hard to make time and space in their life and to connect with that part of themselves. So it's really about helping you nurture your creativity and your creative side. So those are the groups that I run. And when I'm allowed to do things physically again, I'm hoping to run some full-day Saturday workshops, again, just to really help people express themselves creatively, come out of their creative comfort zone, try all sorts of different things with no... We'll just have a play, really. Have a play with paints and pencils and see what happens when you do. Because I think when we're working art by ourselves, or when we don't make very much art, we tend to stick very much in our comfort zone. And that can be okay if that's kind of what you enjoy. But there's a time and a place for coming out of your comfort zone and seeing what happens when you do. Just see what happens when you don't know what's going to happen, or you don't know what's going to come out of yourself, because that's when the interesting stuff that happens. That's when stuff comes from the heart as well, I think.
Yeah, that sounds lovely. It sounds like a really good approach for your students to come at, knowing that they've got something but they're maybe not quite sure what it is. How do you deal with things like various materials, or if people don't know what they want to work with?
Well, often I start with what people have. I mean, so many people have art materials in their cupboards that they never use, or have never used, or been given for Christmas presents. So it's all about taking them out and encouraging them to play with them to start with, or raiding their kids' art boxes too. It's amazing what you can find in there. But because everybody's making different things in the groups, they can see and experience other people using materials that they haven't tried yet. So that's really good, because they can see the effects and chat to people about how they find them to use. And then I can recommend different materials as well. So good starter packs for pastels and paints and that sort of thing. And I guess because I talk to people, because I have sort of one-to-one sessions with people as part of what I do, it's a really good chance to kind of chat to them and go, okay, well, what would you like to explore? What naturally would come next for you? Do you really love colour? Okay, let's maybe have a go with pastels. Do you like things to be vibrant or kind of more muted? Or yeah, it's kind of a personal journey. It's not driven by me going, now you should use this and now you should use that. It's more, what do you feel like trying, or what do you feel like combining, or discovering what you enjoy using, really.
I love sharing my guests' stories with you, but podcasting isn't cheap. There are hosting fees and software costs, tech to buy, and time to invest in planning and editing to make sure the guests sound great and listeners hear the best content. If you'd like to financially support Creativity Found, please visit ko-fi.com/creativityfoundpodcast. You've already mentioned that you value your own creative expression, and the courses are now a job for you. How do you continue to nurture yourself artistically and not concentrate solely on helping others or, say, the work side of your art?
Well, it's a constant balance, and I do find that it really helps me to go to do other courses and classes. So I've done some experimental life drawing classes and some pottery, and then in September I started a one-year course at Avada in Oxford, which is a continuing practice course. And for me that's been brilliant because it's a chance for me to get out my comfort zone, something that I'm quite passionate about, but not always very good at doing myself, and make projects and talk about my art in a completely different way, and it's completely changed what I'm making and what I want to say and how I see the world, I think. But for me, one of the massive benefits has been how I talk to my students about their art. So it's really made me notice not only how good it makes me feel and how visually it changes my art, but it really changes, it really affects how much value I can bring to my students. The more you understand yourself, the more you can help other people.
Yeah, and speaking about understanding yourself, have you ever exhibited your own art for others to see?
I have. I've done a couple of art weeks. So in Oxford, we have Open Studios art weeks. One I had in my husband's office in town, and one I had a shared exhibition here with my husband and his photography. It's quite scary, I have to say. It was quite scary. It felt a little bit like coming out to like your friends and family or walking down the street naked, the first one particularly. It felt like a really important thing to do, but I think it also highlighted for me the fact that I need to do art for myself. Almost like the second exhibition became a little bit more like, okay, what do I need to show for other people? And I realised that it was becoming a bit more about, well, like pleasing other people, but my focus had been more external than internal. For me, it's a real need, it's a drive, it's something I have to do, something that's part of who I am, and that means that I have to look quite into myself for that. So you know, I might exhibit at some point in the future, but for now that's not what's important for me. And you know, a lot of people that I work with as well, like I always encourage that too. It's like, ultimately do it for you first. If you, you know, even like making a piece of art, sometimes you say, oh, I want to kind of make this, it's going to be specifically for this person, and I will say, well, make it for you first. Ultimately, do it for you, but then if you want to give it to that other person, then do it, but make it for you first. It has a very different feel to it when you make art in that way, and art is for us. It is. it's for us first and everybody else second. If they happen to love it or get something from it, that's brilliant. For me, it's about nurturing yourself first, if that makes sense.
Definitely. I love that. You've said just now that you're not planning on exhibiting in the future. So what are your plans for the future, whether that's near or far?
In terms of my own art, for me, the really important thing is to just keep creating space in my life for it, because I don't know where it's going to take. It's the course that I'm doing at the moment. It's a little bit kind of focused on maybe kind of, you know, thinking about doing it professionally. But for me, again, that's not where I'm at right now. For me, I just need that space and consistency in my life to make and see what happens and see what comes out and see where it takes me. So I don't have like any concrete visions or plans with my art other than to just make. Like, to me, it's just about making and seeing what happens. Maybe I'll end up having a collection of something I can do with it, maybe not, but it's just about making. And for my classes, it's really about continuing to provide that space for people.
Fabulous. Amazing. There are many, many podcasts out there. It's difficult to know where to start. So I like to ask my guests for their recommendations. You're welcome.
I like the Moth Hour. It's just people telling their own stories. I think it started in America, but it's people sharing their own personal stories and developing the skill of storytelling. And that can be from anything from, you know, like major life changing activity to just something really little. It's just the art of storytelling. And, you know, they're about sort of 15 minutes long, but I just love just listening to one and just really sitting with that story afterwards. It's just feels like a really personal experience. I love it. Thoroughly recommend it.
Thank you. How can people contact you?
Okay, so my website is janebeinart.co.uk, and I'll spell my surname because nobody can ever spell it, which is B-E-I-N-A-R-T. And I'm also on Instagram at jane_beinart_artist. So yeah, that's the best way to find me.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Jane. It's been brilliant to talk to you today.
Lovely to talk to you too. It's a brilliant space to just, I just love talking about art, quite frankly.
And we love hearing about it. Thank you. Creativity Found is an Open Stage Arts production. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please feel free to subscribe, rate and review. If you would like to help fund future episodes, you can buy us a coffee. That's Ko-Fi, the online platform that helps creators receive financial support from fans of their work. Visit ko-fi.com/creativityfoundpodcast. If you have found your creativity as an adult and would like to talk to me for future episodes, drop me a line at claire@openstagearts.co.uk. On Instagram or Facebook, follow @creativityfoundpodcast, where you will find photos of our contributors' artworks and be kept abreast of everything we're up to.